Before we start this podcast, we would like to take the opportunity to mention that we now have a Patreon page where you can help to support, evolve and continue these compassionate conversations. Please visit patreon.com/vocedialogues for more information. Listen!
Welcome everyone to the Voce Dialogues, Voices of Compassionate Evolution. I'm Chloe Goodchild, founder of The Naked Voice, and this is our new online community where we are exploring, deepening, and evolving our awareness of the transforming power of compassion. Enjoy these new dialogues with a wide range of artists, musicians, writers and philosophers, social entrepreneurs and sacred activists. They are all visionaries, transforming lives through the art of conscious creative expression with practices inspired by their own unique life experience. The Voce Dialogues are dedicated to the compassionate evolution of life on Earth. Well, hello everyone, and it's my great pleasure to be in conversation with a very, very dear friend, Miranda McPherson. Big, big welcome to you, Miranda.
Oh, thank you, Chloe. It's very, very sweet to be together again and share like this.
It truly is, particularly at this unprecedented time
right.
in our lives and in the world. If you're not so familiar with Miranda, she is one incredible human being. Miranda is a contemporary spiritual teacher who shares a feminine approach to surrender and non-dual realization based on the practice of ego relaxation. Her wisdom and palpable transmission invites others to become more graceful human beings, deepening in inquiry, meditation, devotion, and psychological integration. Grounded in extensive study of the world's wisdom traditions and inspired by Sri Ramana Maharshi, A Course in Miracles, and the Diamond Approach, Miranda has been guiding others into direct experience of the sacred for 30 years. Founder of the One Spirit Interfaith Foundation in London, that's when I met you, where Miranda trained and ordained over 600 ministers and counselors. Today, Miranda leads the Living Grace Sangha in Northern California and leads retreats internationally. Her books include The Way of Grace, The Transforming Power of Ego Relaxation, which is by Sounds True, Boundless Love, Ebury Press, and Meditations on Boundless Love. I love the fact that you use that word unapologetically. Yay, let's go there in this conversation. Unapologetically feminine, you are joyful and down to earth in your way of being. Miranda is dedicated to loving people all the way back into the freedom and wholeness of our true nature. So Miranda, this is just, I don't know, this is a very special moment for me because it's been a while since we've been in direct contact, but I'm just always aware of your presence in my life and in the lives of many people that I know, and of course our shared love of non-duality and our connection, very deep connection with Ramana Maharshi and with India and Anandamayi as well. So I'm just really interested and intrigued just to ask you at this time in our conversation, what is compassion and how has compassion shown up in your life? And I suppose we're talking particularly at this time, 2020, and here we are in the midst of unprecedented change in the world.
To me, the compassion is meeting suffering. Really meeting it, not trying to fix it necessarily, but really making contact with the most important and tender parts of our human experience and being there as with and from love to let what is difficult, what is painful, what feels impossible at times, to be contacted by the presence of the heart that is deeper than your or my heart, is just the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, compassion is really the big key. We must meet all aspects of our human experience with and from compassion and courage as well. And for me, they're not separate. You know, it takes a lot of courage to meet things that aren't easy and don't have, you know, simplistic solutions. It takes a lot of courage to meet what hurts, whether it's yours or mine, with and from love, and to be there with it.
Absolutely.
And that's, to me, what it's really all about. And, you know, there have been many moments where, you know, like all human beings, I've gone through junctures that have felt very impossible, have felt bigger than I could fathom or manage, or, and yet somehow, when I have learned to just be present with my own experience, not try to figure it out or fix it, just be there, meet it, feel it, sense it, allow it, surrender into it, which is not the same thing as sort of being dramatic about things or wallowing, but there's a surrender of the mind into the heart. And I feel it's there where we experience our purity, our depth, and our deepest humanity. And I think that's a very rich and beautiful and meaningful part of being human, and clearly what our world needs a lot more of right now.
Oh, goodness me. Yeah, absolutely. I would love if you would like just to share, you know, some key moments in your life that have really catalyzed this ever deepening understanding of yours, perhaps something of your early life, and perhaps who were the influences there? Were there influences there, or was it the circumstances themselves?
I mean, I've had many things. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is an experience when I was 13 years old, and I was suffering in a way that wasn't easy to name. On the outside, it looked like I was suffering from depression, but I think really I was just a young kid who was a bit of an old soul and was not finding the kind of contact and understanding and support that I needed from adults and people around me. And I was also very sensitive and very aware of the suffering of others, you know, my parents suffering and my friends' families suffering. You know, they all seemed to be miserable and angry and not at peace, and that hurt my heart. I would feel the pain of when there was rancor in the environment, even if it wasn't coming at me. It was very painful to see that and to feel that, to feel the effect of it. And I, you know, my plea inwardly was, why can't everybody just be nicer? You know, I remember feeling that way a lot as a little girl. Like, why can't everybody just be kinder? Why do they have to be so mean? It was how I felt a lot of. And so the meanness, the mean-spiritedness, the lack of kindness, it was very clear to me that that was really off, you know, that it shouldn't be like that. So for me, I really descended into a very withdrawn place. And I ended up spending a couple of months in a psychiatric unit. And I was given the choice of a teenage psych unit or an adult psych unit. And I said adult, you know, and I think because I was really underneath the hurt, I was really angry. I wasn't very impressed with people my own age because I was hungry for a more meaningful experience. You know, I wasn't so interested in the kinds of things that my peers were interested in. And it made for a pretty awkward time, you know. So I'm there in the adult psych unit and I'm looking around and I'm noticing all the other people who are there in that psych unit with me. And they all have different labels than the label that I have. So you could list the kinds of things that you would see in any psychiatric unit around the world. Depression, bipolar, people who tried to take their life, drug addiction. And what was really clear to me was that everyone was fundamentally suffering from the same thing. Everyone was fundamentally suffering from some form of disconnection from real love and real meaning. And that was a spiritual problem, and that all of the modalities to try to treat it were just Band-Aid. They were just trying to medicate and suppress. And that was obvious to me that that wasn't what I needed. So I could feel my common humanity. I just didn't know how to speak about it or language it or what to do about it. So I think for me personally, you know, what happened there was somehow my resistance to life somehow, I think I must have exhausted myself in that resistance. Mm. And I had a spontaneous opening, and it felt like my heart was exploding from within.
Wow.
Into an experience that was such intense and total love. That's why I call it boundless love.
Oh, beautiful.
And it felt like a million angels exploding from within my heart and lifting me above the way I had viewed life, which seemed like a battlefield, mm-hmm. you know, the unkindness of the harshness and the inhumanity and the mean-spiritedness that was so painful and intolerable mm-hmm. that I couldn't understand, let alone deal with. I felt lifted above that and connected, reconnected to something that I remembered from very, very early on in my life. This felt sense of this infinite love that was everywhere and that I was in it and part of it. And it was the true nature of us all.
Beautiful.
And that it was still here underneath that kind of battlefield of distortion and human suffering and forgetting. So it was this profound experience of being very deeply plugged into the mains in a way that gave me a felt sense of, okay, I can be here. Okay, I can emerge back into life. And thankfully, within this powerful experience, I had an intuition. Don't talk to anybody about this till you're an adult.
Wise move.
Very wise move. I probably never would have been discharged from that psych unit had I said something. So I kind of intuitively knew, don't talk to anybody about this. And so I didn't. And no one asked any questions. No one asked any questions. I mean, what turned this around? Well, you know, because it was like immediate. Oh, I was already, okay, I can come back into life now. Okay, I can go back to school now. Okay, all right, whatever. And not that anything in my environment changed. My home environment, my school environment remained the same. In fact, it got worse. But inside, I was reconnected to something that I knew without a shadow of a doubt was more real, was more true, that showed me a way forward, that gave me courage and perspective, actually, and that confirmed the fact that there was much more to life than the way it was presented, and that there were other people who knew about this. So kind of that led me to study and to read and to find my way to teachings and practices, and bit by bit the threads started coming together and I was off in a life that was absolutely devoted to how do we live from this. And of course I had a lot of tricky things to unpack, a lot of blocks to any possibility of me embodying this consciousness of boundless love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like anybody new on the path, you know, you have to get to work. And so because I had to face a lot of difficult things, a lot of hurt and rage and trauma within myself. Mm-hmm. And that was not easy. And I needed strength and courage and compassion and humility, as we all do, and patience and perseverance to go towards these defenses in myself and habits of reactivity and unwholesome patterns that I knew were there and that needed to be addressed and that basically represented my suffering. You know, what really inspired me was this passage I found from Hermann Hesse where he said, "You know quite well, deep within you, there is only a single magic, a single power, a single salvation, and that is called loving." He went on to say, "Very well then, love your suffering. Do not flee from it. Do not run away from it. It is your aversion that causes the pain, nothing else."
Whoa, I love
And that. I really took that, okay, I have to turn my heart towards these things in myself I so wished weren't there. I have to not whitewash it. I have to be there with love and let it all dissolve back into God. And that slowly started to happen bit by bit by bit by bit. And it's taught me that we can meet anything. You know, we can stay present and feel the whole gamut of things. And so it's so beautiful to know that, not just conceptually, but really know it in my body, in my heart. It gives me the capacity to be with others in their suffering and just to really be there, to really be present with them, not trying to fix them, not trying to whitewash it, not trying to Pollyanna it, not trying to give a spiritual platitude, just be there. And it's so healing when we can be there.
I'm thinking of Bert Hellinger, the guy who created the Order of Love. He was a monk, I think, for 12 years on his own in silence. And then he spent time with the Zulu world. And then he created this incredible form of family therapy and family conciliation. And I always remember him saying that however radical the abuse that one can experience as a child, sometimes it is that very radical negative environment in which one is brought into this world mm-hmm. that is the very grist and the very catalyst that you yep. need for your own growth. And I guess it would seem like with quite a few of these Voce dialogue conversations that somehow or other there is sort of within oneself this unharmed sacred point in the center of oneself that yeah. you know, regardless of everything else that's going on the outside, it remains unharmed, you know.
Yes, well, absolutely, the truth yeah. of who we are remains as pure as light, as it is inviolable. Our true yeah. nature is inviolable. And we all go through things that seem completely hideous and unjust and unfair and don't often make sense. And so we're seeing that right now in our collective. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a hideous amount of suffering and injustice and loss and grief. And mm-hmm. and we need to meet that with and from love, you know. We just need to meet it. And mm-hmm. suffering needs to be met. It's plain and simple.
Yeah. Are you finding in your work that there are different levels and different ways in which we can meet our suffering? You know, there's the biological, the physical level, there's the psychological level where one explores the narratives, you know, in the childhood conditioning and how that impacts and how forgiveness and the whole process one goes through there of overcoming the obstacles and to arrive at one's own self-revelation and so on. And then these deeper layers of, you know, that you will have experienced and that I experienced in India of, I am that, who are you now, you know, and just solely focuses on this more non-dualistic tension in the present moment and so on. I'm just interested to know how you are, where you're happiest working, or it's probably
all of it.
All of it. Yes.
To me, it's not either or, and this is what makes this what I call a very feminine approach to non-duality, which is, if you really understand non-duality actually means it's, you know, there's nothing but God. Right. And so your suffering is part of God too, you know, right. that has to be met as sacred ground. Yes. But of course, you know, it's dense and there's self-forgetting involved in it. But nevertheless, everything that is an arising of the One. When we really accept that as a foundation, then what we first need to go towards is our occlusions, our fears, our hurts. So anyone who studies with me, what they'll be very familiar with is we practice what I call holistic inquiry. Mm-hmm. And so that is where we first go towards obstacles, our relative human experience. For example, you know, tell me something that scares you, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and you just name a fear, and who does this fear belong to? Mm-hmm. You know, we might see it's from a memory of something we lived through that was very overwhelming or painful or difficult, or it might be ancestral. It might be something that's lodged in our nervous system that happened to our parents or their parents or our ancestors mm-hmm. or our culture. It could be trauma, right? What supports you to stay present and open-hearted with this? Mm. So, you know, that directs the inquiry questions that I give, direct people how to meet the humanity, see it for what it really is, what its root is, and then be with it in an open-hearted way, just making contact. Mm. And so that helps, when I say meet our experience, that helps us meet it. And we meet it not just as a concept, but we meet it as energy, sensation, feeling, and awareness. Mm. That's body, heart, mind. And all three have to happen, because everything that we experience and encounter is registered in all three of our centers, in our whole being. And so we have to meet it with our whole being.
Right.
And just acknowledge, just say thank you. Thank you for showing, thank you for seeing this, right? Mm. Because it just needs to be seen, felt, understood, allowed space for, and then it just starts to self-liberate. You know, that's my experience and the experience with my students, that you go towards the obstacle all the way. What's at the core of it, who it belongs to, the identity of it, the somatics of it, and you do nothing. That's what ego relaxation is. You do nothing to change, fix, rearrange, not even get over it. Just be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful medicine. It allows then the presence of compassion to emerge. And so compassion isn't just a concept. When it actually emerges within us through the meeting of all that is, it can feel like our heart is this immense green field, or it can feel like aloe vera is kind of emerging from within us, or there's this sort of soft, healing, kind quality that isn't a thought, it's not, but it's a presence, it's an actual dimension of grace that emerges from our true nature, which is beyond our story, beyond even our concepts of what we think we are. It just emerges spontaneously as these aspects of our nature emerge spontaneously as and when they're needed to address suffering. And then we can, you know, we can journey into that. We can explore, well, who am I now? You know, what's the source? And so that's where we go to the classical, who am I, or who is this happening to? And that's also there.
Lovely.
And we see that, well, I'm not the doer of compassion. I'm not producing it. It just is. And I'm not separate from that compassionate present. It actually is my nature. In the same way that love is your nature, in the same way that pure awareness is your nature, in the same way that clarity is your nature.
Mm.
You know, our nature has many ways that it emerges and expresses according to the need. That's kind of how I work with it. And obviously I take people into meditations. I love taking people by the hand and saying, here, come with me. Let's go into the very back of your heart and let's see what's really there. It's a lot more than you think.
Well, I love also your over the years, just this increasing presence also of music and the use of sound in your work and so on.
Yeah, well, thank you for nurturing me in the early days. And I want to really acknowledge you, Chloe, because, you know, I remember coming on a retreat with you. And I remember looking at you and going, I would love to be as free and as spontaneous in my embodiment as I saw you to be. And I'm glad to say that that's what's happened over the years, you know.
Yes, yeah.
But I you were a great inspiration to me to just sort of not care what anybody thought about what came out and just to let it come out. And that's a tremendous transmission that you've given to me and to so many, to just give permission to just go there. And yes, of course, you know, there's nothing that opens the heart quickly like sound, music.
Right, yeah. And that it's very exciting, isn't it, to watch how that is now coming through in a lot of people. People are understanding its use and its power and its potency and its sacred presence, you know, and how it can be used as medicine.
It's very medicinal, and it's exciting that, you know, all the neuroscience research now is showing, you know, what singing in particular does for our neurology. I mean, not that we really needed that confirmation, because anyone who's sort of let go into song knows how immediately better you feel. You just feel connected to sort of joy and aliveness and a celebratory spirit that is also part of your heart. Is the same source from which compassion emerges, is the source from which joy emerges, which is the ananda of your own heart. But obviously music can trigger it powerfully, perhaps more powerfully than anything else I know.
Would you like to make an offering of song or of sound for us to see? Completely amazing, just to hear how you share that with others.
Well, since we are talking about compassion, it would seem appropriate that maybe you and I could sing together as a kind of call and return, the Metta Prayer. This is my version of the Metta Prayer. And this is how I conclude absolutely any gathering that I do, virtual or in person, just because the whole point of, you know, whatever healing happens in us, whatever opens in us is for it to produce benefit and goodness for everyone else in the world. And
beautiful.
When our hearts open, that's naturally what we want.
Absolutely, that would be wonderful.
So how about I sing a line and then you echo the line? Because that would be nice, I think.
Yeah, I would love to. I'll follow.
May all beings dwell in the heart.
May all beings dwell in the heart.
May all beings be free from suffering.
May all beings be free from suffering.
May all beings be healed.
May all beings be healed.
May all beings know their wholeness.
May all beings be happy and peace.
May we all dwell in the heart.
May we all dwell in the heart.
May we all be free from suffering.
May we be free of suffering.
May we all be healed.
May we all be healed.
May we all know our wholeness.
May we all know wholeness.
May we all be happy and at peace.
May we all be happy and at peace.
Thank you, Miranda. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's beautiful to be here with you.
Beautiful to be with you again. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. I just want to say one last thing before we conclude that, you know, I know that these times that we're in right now are sort of so huge and provoking so much, and that for me personally, you know, watching the news these days is part of my spiritual practice, and that it's challenging to stay present with all that we're seeing and feeling. And but I think it's really important that we do our best, that we try, so that we can find wise and compassionate and meaningful response, you know, each in our own way. And to help you with that, I created a little video, and it's on my website. It's called Practicing Ego Relaxation While Watching the News.
Oh, great.
It's on the homepage of my website.
I'll go there straight away.
It's really all about staying present in our body and greeting what we're hearing as our suffering, not good people, bad people, polarization, but our human suffering.
Brilliant.
And doing our best to open our heart to that.
May it be so. May it be so. May we be one.
Yeah.
Remember, we are one.
Yes. And start to act that way.
Yeah.
More often.
I'm with you on that one, girl.
Yeah.
Blessings.
All right.